Welcome to Elizabeth Baptist live stream again this morning. I'm thankful for you that are listening by way of our live stream, and we got some helpers today with us, and we're thankful to have them with us too. What we're going to do today is look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and what we're going to do is focus on verses 3 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Now, I've done the whole New Testament, but I haven't done all the Old Testament yet. I've just about done with it, but the book of 1 Peter is a tremendous book to study through. And what I'm going to try to do this morning is try to cover down to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And that should cover what I'm planning on doing. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at verse 3 through 6, and we'll have a word of prayer and get started. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, or it says a lively hope or a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness because of manifold temptations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again today to have the opportunity to come and to the Elizabeth Baptist Church, and we're thankful that we're able to come today and to preach this live stream text. We pray that the Spirit of the Living God would touch someone today, those that are listening by the way, and we pray that there would be a time when we can get back together again as one church too. Father, we love you. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We pray your blessings on this message today and on our evening message this evening. So, Lord, we pray a blessing for all of it. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. All right, we're going to cover 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to work down probably down to verse 6. And if I see that I've not went real long, I'll go ahead and go down to verse 12. It just depends on, well, really depends on me, I guess, how long it's going to take. So I love the book of 1 Peter. It's a great book. I've done it years ago, or several years ago I've done it, and teaching it verse by verse. So I really enjoy it. I love the book of 1 Peter and the book of 2 Peter. These are real good texts to look at. So let's go ahead and start at the verse 1, and we'll go ahead and work our way down, and I'll try to get to verse 12. Peter, an apostle. Now, the apostolic office was a special office. They were personally picked by Christ. And Simon Peter was an apostle. You had to see to be an apostle, you had to see Christ in his earthly body, and you also had to be trained by Christ. So those were the two main things you had to have. Okay, so Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers which scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, these are just different places where churches were at. And what he would do is they would send letters, just like the Apostle Paul would send letters with regard to these different churches and places that were there. Verse 2 says, elect. The word elect means chosen. And the word elect is a term. Just means, like I just already said, means chosen. Sometimes it says in this text, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. He knowed you before the foundation of the world. He set His affection and His love upon us before the foundation of the world. And that's the idea of it. We were elect or chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. God's foreknowledge, He chose us in Him before the foundation, before the foundation of the world. That's what He did. He knew me far before I ever knew Him. And He set His affection and His love. He set His affection, His love upon me before the world ever began. That's what He did. So He's loved me a long time, even before the world ever began. He knew Jeff Arthur. And if you're here tonight or this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the same thing is true as you. It's a wonderful place to be. He chose to save us. And do we deserve that? No. But that's what He did. So we're elect or chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Holy Spirit, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So that's just kind of the opening of the letter. See, this is a letter written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it was written by Simon Peter. So we're going to try to cover, like I already told you, verses 3 through 12, and if I can do that, I think that'd be good. So verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy." Now, this is a tremendous word here, abundant mercy. Now, mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. If I got what I deserved, I'd slide right into hell if I got what I deserved. I didn't get what I deserved. And God, our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, He laid that abundant mercy on us. I'm a child of mercy. And who gave me that mercy was the Lord. He's the one that gave me mercy. And He said it's an abundant mercy. That means it's a mercy that covers all your sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We sing a song of grace that covers all your sin. And that's how this mercy is in this text. It's an abundant mercy, and it'll cover all your sin. And that's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? It's a wonderful place to live under this mercy that God has given us. And He says it's abundant mercy. It's abundant. It can cover all of our sins. And that's what He did when He saved your soul. He laid that abundant mercy on us. That's what He did. And that abundant mercy is perfect to cover all our sins. So it's an abundant mercy. I want to ask you a question before I go on any farther. Have you trusted His abundant mercy? Have you trusted His abundant mercy? And it's abundant because it's able to cover all your sins, like we already said. But it's an abundant mercy. It can take care of your sin debt, and it takes care of it in full. That's why it's called abundant. What else? Mercy. And that's what saved my soul. That's what saved my soul. Now, I didn't deserve that abundant mercy. Now, you got to get that down in your heart. I didn't deserve that abundant mercy, but the Lord, that's why He calls it abundant. What else again? Mercy. It's a mercy. Mercy's getting, you know what mercy is? It's getting what you don't deserve. Lord didn't give me what I deserved. He gave me His abundant mercy. And that's what saved my soul. And And I'm forever grateful for that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Abundant mercy. So think about that today. You that are listening by way of the live stream, you just think how great of a thing that is that Jesus Christ put upon us His abundant mercy. And that's salvation. That's how the Lord saves a sinner person, is by trusting in His abundant mercy. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. God bestowed His abundant mercy on us because He loved us. That's why He did it. So that's a wonderful place to be. All right, stay with me now. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, there it is, hath begotten us again to a living hope. Now, to be begotten again means to be born again. It's to be born again. To be born of the Spirit. And that's what happens whenever, that's what the new birth is. We've been born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that made you alive one day in your life. Before I was saved, I was dead in trespasses and sins. But what the Lord did for me, He laid on me that abundant mercy and that living hope. Abundant mercy and a living hope. So these statements are tremendous as far as you couldn't put a price tag. Abundant mercy, what kind of price tag could you put on abundant mercy? You can't put a price tag on it. It's infinite in value. So God laid His mercy on me and His grace on me. And He has begotten me again to a living hope. I got a living hope. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you should know this text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll know this text, but let me start at verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's start at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God, I want you to listen to this now, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, He chose you. That's what it says. If you got 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 13, it's just what it says. He chose to save you. If He hadn't chose to save you, you'd still be in your sin, wouldn't you? But He in His grace chose you to salvation. That's what it says. 2 Thessalonians 13. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 13. So that's what He did. He chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's what He did. That's why I'm saved. I want you to hear that. That's why I'm saved. I was beloved of the Lord, and He chose to save me before the world ever began. That's what He did. And that gives all the glory and honor and praise of your salvation to the Lord. I didn't save myself. God saved me. Jesus saved me. He opened my eyes. He opened my heart. And He drawed me to Himself, and He saved my soul. And I want you to know something. I love Him so for that. I didn't earn none of these things. God made me His child. It says in verse 13, how much did Jesus love me? What says, I'm beloved of the Lord in verse 13. Everybody say it. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. We are bound to give thanks always to God to you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So that's what the Lord has done for me. And if you're here and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that's just exactly what the Lord also has done for you. Okay? Now let's go back to our text in 1 Peter. Back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me go stay where I'm at now, and then we'll move on. I just love that. I love that 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6. It's a great one. All right? All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's go ahead and work our way down through our text, and we'll close her out, but it's going to be a little bit. Let's go ahead and start at verse 1. Peter, apostle of Jesus, to the strangers which are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those are five different places where the gospel was sent. And the location of this is today is modern Turkey, and that all these places is what he's referring to. Elect, what's the word elect mean again? Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. He knew you beforehand, and he called you by his grace. That's what he did. Did we earn that? No. He just did it because he loved you. Okay? Through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. All right, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy. Now that's where we was at just a little while ago, right? It's abundant mercy. What's mercy again? Mercy's getting what you don't deserve. You know, sometimes people will get put in jail, or sometimes they throw themselves on the mercy of the court or something like that. Lord, give us his abundant mercy. I needed mercy. And I needed an abundant mercy. And that's what the Lord did when he saved me. He laid on me his abundant mercy. And without mercy, you'd never be saved. You'd never be born again. The one that makes you alive and wakes you to this abundant mercy is the Holy Spirit. And that's what he does. What kind of mercy is this? It's an abundant mercy. It covers all your sin. It sends you to heaven. That's what abundant mercy does. So he's begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope. The word lively carries the idea of living. It's a living hope. I got a living hope. I'll talk just a little bit about my hopes here real quick, but I'll give them to you fast. Here's some of the living hopes that I have. And these things, man, you can't put a price tag on any of them. Number one, I have the hope of heaven. I have the hope of heaven. Now, hope isn't a wish. Hope is something that is concrete. It's true. So we have a hope in heaven. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when he's going to come and all these things that people wonder about. But I got a living hope in heaven. And I know that I'm going there. Either by death or by rapture, I know I'm going there. That's a living, see, it's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. And that's what the Lord's done for me in salvation. And that's why it's such a great thing. So, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, we talked about the mercy, you remember that, mercy's getting not what you deserve. God bestowed upon me and his grace, right? He's begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, buddy, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we'd have no hope, would we? We'd just as well go home if it wasn't for Jesus. He arose again, conquering sin and conquering death and conquering hell. He did all of that. And when you trust him as Savior, he gives you victory over all of those enemies that I just mentioned. That's what he does. And that's why we at the church sing the song, Victory in Jesus. It's a living hope. Okay? All right. So, we talked about the abundant mercy, and that mercy covered all your sin. We talked about the living hope, the expectation of one day going to glory. We talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we're born again. That's the reason why we're saved. Now let's move down to verse 4. He mentions an inheritance. What is an inheritance? Inheritance is something that somebody leaves to you. It usually, that's what an inheritance is. We have an inheritance. Now, you know, this inheritance that I have, I want you to get this now. This inheritance I have is a heavenly inheritance. It's what it is. It's a heavenly inheritance. It says to an inheritance, and here's how he describes this inheritance that we have. It's incorruptible. It's not going to corrupt. It's going to stand forever. It's going to stand forever. So we have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's not going to corrupt or fade away. It's going to be an eternal thing. And that's what it is. So we have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not defiled by sin. It's not defiled by sin. Now listen to what else it says. This inheritance, it doesn't fade away. Now listen to this. It's reserved in heaven for you. Hey, it's what? It's reserved in heaven for you. We got a reservation. And that reservation that we have is reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know one of these days he's coming. He might come today. And I'll receive that inheritance that's reserved in heaven for me. You know what I like to say about that? I got a reserved seat. If you're here and you're born again and you've trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior, guess what you got? It's all reserved for you. It's waiting on you. Just a little bit over the mountainside, so to speak. It's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Say with me now. Who are kept. This inheritance is incorruptible, doesn't fade away, but it says it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, it says something about us here in verse 5. You see, it says it's reserved in heaven for you. See, this is a reserved in heaven for you. So you got a... Verse 4, you got a reservation there. And I got a reservation there. And there's a book there that's got the Lamb's Book of Life on it. My name's written there. Man, isn't that a wonderful way to live? We got a reservation. And it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says we're kept. Hey, who's your keeper? Who keeps you? Well, it says right here, you're kept by the power of God. God keeps you. You know, beloved, if the Lord didn't keep you, you would never make it. You have to have a keeper, and our keeper is Jesus. He keeps you. We are kept, the scripture says, verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, by the way, verse 5, we're in the last time. We've been in the last time for 2,000 years. It's not going to be long before the Lord comes. What else has to happen? I don't know. The Lord's going to come when He comes. That's why you always have to be what? You have to be ready. Jesus will come today. Are you ready? If you die today, are you ready? Wherefore ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. So they were going through it. The people were going through a hard time. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, Asia, all of that, they were going through a hard time. God's people, when you look back through history, always went through a hard time. And now here in verse 6, he says, but now ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. So they were going through a hard time. This man of God was going through a hard time. God's people go through hard times. He don't promise you you'll never face hard times on this earth. You'll have hard times. But you got to draw strength from your King to overcome the hard times. It's a wonderful thing to have Jesus on your side, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to know that He hears you when you pray. It's a wonderful thing. All right. Verse 7, it says, the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love. I've not seen Jesus. That's what he's talking about here in the text. I've not seen him. We sing that song, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. I just think about that all the time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season you're in heaviness because of manifold temptations. It's going through a hard time. He said, the trial of your faith is more precious than of gold that perishes. You know, when you go through trials and you're a child of God, you know what it does for you, don't you? It makes you stronger. It's like training. It just makes you stronger. Verse 7, the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it might be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It mentions Jesus appearing. I don't know when Jesus is going to appear, but I know He's coming. It could be today. Do y'all agree? It could be today. Simon Peter wrote this text 2,000 years ago. It's been 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was here. It's been 2,000 years. I don't know when He's coming. But you know what I know? I know I'm ready. I know I'm ready to go up. I hope you that are listening to me are ready to go up. I hope you've trusted Jesus. I hope you have the faith that is talked about here in this particular verse. Okay? Verse 8. Whom having not seen, we've not seen Him, in whom though you see Him not, yet believing, you believe. Of course, we've got a song that says this. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's the end of your faith, is the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets talking about the Old Testament prophets, of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. God sent grace. God sent His Son. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Last verse, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, and this is talking about his apostles, and he taught his apostles about the things of the Lord. It says, unto him it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto they that did minister these things, which are now reported by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit. Preach the what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. When you receive that gospel message, you know what He does? He gives you everlasting life. One of the main things we do at Elizabeth Baptist Church is we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. That's what saves. That's what opens you. Holy Spirit uses that to open your heart and draw you to Himself. Last of all, have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels, the angels desire to look into. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Beloved, I don't know how it is with you tonight, or this morning, I should say. 1 Peter chapter 1 is a tremendous text. We went from 1 Peter all the way down to verse 12. I hope you know Him. I hope you've trusted Him as your Savior. I hope you're thankful that you're kept by the power of God. That's one of the greatest verses in this text. And the second one, I really want you to focus on is His abundant mercy and His living hope. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this morning. And Father, we're thankful for everlasting life. We're thankful for that incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away salvation that You've given us. And we're thankful, Lord, that You've given us a reserved seat. And Lord, we're thankful that You kept us by the power of God. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.